This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Welcome to Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. Now, we all know family businesses don't have the best survival rates, especially after the third generation. In fact, statistics show that second generation businesses have a 60% failure rate, while third generation businesses fail at a rate of 90%. And it's hard to pinpoint why or how this happens because every business is different. But I'm hoping our guests on the show today can help us understand just what it takes to make a family business sustainable and profitable through the years and through the generations. Online with me today, I have Ginny Lee and Michelle Chan, the second generation business owners of Mum Mum Snacks. And these ladies are on a mission to turn their parents' very traditional brick and mortar business around to secure more success, this time in a digital world. Ginny, Michelle, welcome to Open for Business.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Audrey.
Let's start with a bit of background into Mum Mum Snacks and the kind of snacks you guys produce. I understand that the business has been supplying snacks from across all different hypermarkets and supermarkets for 3 decades now. Tell us a bit about the business.
So it's actually started our founder, Mr. Chan, where he started in 1994, where he supplies and trading in all different supermarkets in a very traditional way, where you can see those like little pack or those scooping one on those famous supermarket, let's say like Tesco, like Jesco. This kind of traditional market that he's been running the same way throughout the whole time of his life in Mum Mum Snacks. So Mr. Chan has been wanted to stepping down and asking, oh, if, you know, the second generation would like to take it over. That's when the turning point and that's where the interesting journey started. And yeah, there's been quite a roller coaster ride, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get to those details in just a bit. But just to understand the kind of, what kind of snacks do you produce? And how do you source your snacks? Do you produce them yourself? Do you have a factory? Tell us a bit more about your product itself.
So Mum Mum Snacks started as a trading company. So where we dealt a lot with local suppliers. So all the traditional snacks that you've grown up with, like those keropok, those muruku, those little biscuit that you eat since young, we trade them and we repackage them to sell in a smaller pack. It's more consumable for consumer to bring around, to bring to school. That's how we do it. So since then we decided to expand the product range from the traditional snacks into those trendy snacks right now, which is like those healthier option, which is like almond, different kind of walnuts, and or more like those most of the diet balance kind of snacks. Yeah, so right now we have like a super guilty snacks and a super healthy snacks for your choice. Because everyone needs something sweet in their life, right? So you will go for something like those chocolate biscuit. And then if you feel guilty, then you have something nice.
It's very early in the morning, but you're making me very hungry, Janae. So how many outlets are you guys in? Because you've been in hypermarkets and supermarkets and you've been in these large-scale retail outlets for like 30 years, right? But how many outlets are you in currently?
If you are saying including all the hypermarkets and supermarkets, it's about 60 for now.
Across Malaysia?
Yeah, but we have closed down quite a lot of outlets due to the pandemic.
We also focuses a different smaller, what do you call that? Those kedai runcit as well. So it's like a smaller scale we do have, a bigger scale we do have. So it depends on the different place in Semenanjung, especially. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about the family business now. I mean, like the business began operations in 1991 by your parents, but they've now passed the gauntlet down to you. Are they somewhat still in the picture, or has it been a clean handover to the both of you?
It's never a clear cut for me, because I mean, it's understandable. They have been fighting their whole decades. They contribute their whole life in this industry. You cannot expect them to just suddenly let it go. Yeah. They were always in the picture in a good way. They are always in our back. They always give us a different opinion, give us suggestions how this thing will go. Anyhow, because me and the second generation is never in the industry for training. We are from different background. So for their intake is very important to us, especially those tips. How do we deal with our normal supplier? How do we deal with different business owner? Because it's been a while, they have been the one, the face of the company. So suddenly you change, someone is a newer generation. There's a lot of trust in between that has not built. So there is, there's some point that, oh, can you help me out with that? Can you talk to this? It's more trustable for them. And especially those suppliers that has been working with them for the longest time.
Right.
Yeah. So I would say that it's good that they are always has our back on. So yeah, they have been looking at us right now.
Okay. Now, what's the breakdown of responsibilities? Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's yourself, Ginny, Michelle, and also Sydney, right? And you're all cousins?
Yes.
Right. Yep. So what is the breakdown of responsibilities like? I know all of you hail from different industries, finance, digital marketing, graphic design. So who does what at Mamam Snacks right now?
I think everyone is everywhere. But in terms of, I mean, of course, we do have like, okay, you do this. For example, Michelle has a very strong background on digital marketing. So everything that touches digital on marketing, how to promote, it will be under Michelle. And for me myself, I'm a graphic designer, so everything touches promotions, like from packaging until everything that you see online, offline, the graphics, it will be on me. Where Sydney will be our main head that overlooks the whole process, where his background is on finance. So he will definitely touch us on the budget. That's where he's the one we need to go for the green light with every single thing that we want to do. Mm. And also, yeah, then this is our breakthrough. The breakdown of our work. But in generally, we are everything. We are the packers. We are the cleaners. We deliver goods. Like, for example, there's KLCC. We have to deliver something. Oh, someone has to go there. The finance officer will have to step his foot down and then to deliver the things away. And we will have to, yeah, things needs to be very flexible.
Yeah. And so it's completely understandable in a family business. You all have to wear different hats. Can I ask if the three of you have skin in the game? Like, have you invested in the business financially, or is it all from the parents? And have they set everything up already that you can just come in and take over?
It's all from the parents, but we do have a limited budget to start our online platform.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So we need to put down with a limited budget for production, packaging, manpower, even some machines like oven and kind of things.
So the mission, like you just mentioned, Michelle, is, I guess, to take Mamam Snacks online. But what made it come to this? What made you realize that you have to go online? Has revenue slowly started to decrease, or did you feel the brand needed a more youthful, more modern spin to it? What made the three of you decide to take Mamam Snacks online?
Yes, we started our online platform since about 2 years ago, which is the pandemic, where our outlets starting to close down a few, means that the business is going down, right? And then, of course, we are the second generation. We do online shop a lot. And we realized that there's a lot of snack sellers online too. Yeah, so we decided to start selling online first to see how's the response.
Mm.
Yeah.
And how was the response?
Starting is not too good, I can say. I think it's because it's the range that we have, because there's a lot of sensitive item for snacks. For example, all the biscuit is very fragile. Mm. And the packaging that we have and the boxes that we have is very limited too. Yeah, so we need to find ways to pack and to send it out and to speak to the courier to how to handle the package that we have.
Right. So how long did that whole process take? You know, because obviously it's in the, you're stuck in a pandemic. You can't go anywhere. You can see that online is the way to go to kind of bump up sales, but you also have to make all these changes and you're doing all of this while confined to your homes. How long did that whole process take?
About 6 months.
Right. To fine tune.
Yeah. Because to start with is online is just that what we want to do. Yeah. It's not like what the founders want to do. So in the beginning, he decided, okay, you guys wanted to take over. When he say take over or handle the business, is that he expect us to do how he does it in the traditional way. He didn't expect us to put different input or change the business model in any way. So when Michelle gave us an idea to the father that says, oh, you know, we can sell things online, that's where we said, oh, that's where he came with the doubt. It's like, snacks not going to sell online. It's never going to work. You can't see the products. No one's going to have different expectation. The thing's going to be hard. Like, online will never work. So that's where we have the challenge of how do we convince them to change the mind that, oh, online can work one day. What, like, why do the younger generations shop so much online and we can't get a piece of it, you know? Because the trend of it is there. Everyone actually used to go online. Everything, you buy vegetables online. Why can't you buy snacks? So that's when we slowly, bits and pieces, we started to set up the things online. In the same time, we also do run the daily tasks by how he envisioned us to do it. And I think it takes 6 months for us to finally ride on the trend and say, okay, the business is starting to fill up and it shows results. We realized that in order to convince the older generation, a new idea is to show a result. There's tons of excuses. There's tons of things you can say. But the most important part is the figure.
Yeah. The proof is in the pudding, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's, once you show the proof, once you show the result, then it will change its mind.
Yeah.
That is the strongest point and the strongest turn of how the business model has turned to these days. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We are going to need to take a quick break for some messages. But when we come back, we'll get Ginny and Michelle to talk to us more about how they convinced the first generation of Mamam Snacks to go with their plan to go online. All that and more happening on Open for Business. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You are listening to Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. Online with me today, I have the second generation of business owners at Mamam Snack, Ginny Lee and Michelle Chan. So, Ginny, Michelle, before the break, you were talking to us about how you were told that online would never work for a traditional snack distribution business like Mamam Snacks. But you went ahead with your plan, but you also concurrently ran the business the way the founders wanted it. You know, fully traditional brick and mortar, out of the stores, out of the hypermarkets, out of your Kedai Runcit. And you finally convinced the founders that online would work by showing them the results. Can we talk a bit about the investment that you had to make to kickstart your online platform? Like, you know, starting up your web shop and putting all your snacks online. Like, how much did that cost? Was that expensive? And what did the founders have to say about putting that money aside?
Okay, to start off, we requested about a 5-digit first to start off with some machines and some marketing fee, but ended up is not quite enough.
Ooh, okay.
Especially for stocks, it takes up more than 50% already. Yeah, so we need to increase to about 6-digit to get more stocks and then to hire more manpower.
And this is because of the different packaging, right?
Yes. Yeah. About 6-digit to start off everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think, and also in order for us to get the packaging done, we need to have volume.
Yeah.
So it's like a chicken and egg. There's no packaging. I mean, there won't be packaging if there's no volume. If there's no volume, there won't be any chance of us to purchase any stock from the supplier. And all the stocks comes in cash. So there's a lot of chicken and egg that how can we stabilize the whole budget spending, and also how do we prioritize which is the one that we need to go to in order for us to generate the first income and also to show the profit.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, it was slow in the beginning, right? Initially, it was slow, right? So when did it start to pick up and start to show the kind of results that the founders were satisfied with?
Yeah, the first promotion, which is 10-10 and 11-11, where the business really shows a result to them that we can request more budget from them to do marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from start is 3-digit a month. A day. 3-digit a day. And the highest point for us is a day with 6-digit.
Right.
So that it takes us like a year.
Yeah, a year.
A year for us to finally show the result. And that's where, okay, then we finally like happily print the reports or all the things. And you know, this is what we have done. We have already shown some result and give us the budget. And let's go further. that's where we have the turning point, and then we started to do the packaging. Because all the packaging there is coming cash, because in minimum quantity, like for example, you need to print like 30,000 and above. But do we have 30,000 kind of orders in order for us to pay the debt? That's where we have to, our finance need to really come and calculate every single cost that we needed. And do we have the manpower? Do we have the budget to hire the right person in our team? At one point, we do not. That's where three of us has to be the packer. And at one point, I think that time was an MCO. And our moms, our aunts has to be in the picture. Everyone has their own job. My mom needs to do packing. Some need to be sticking the things, need to pack the boxes. It's basically a reunion, Chinese reunion. Everyone is there. Yeah, everyone is there. And that time of we don't have the volume for the online shoppers to come and pick the parcel up. We have to take our cars to go back and forth to the courier service to send the goods out, because you know consumer always want their parcel the next day.
Yeah.
So we couldn't afford to have any delay, and the time is running out. We have to pack it, you know, at home midnight just to send the things out, because in order for us to not delay everything, we have to send it out in the given period. That's right. the cons of the online shopping. But yeah, we did it. We did that. And it really shows that we need more manpower at that point, because you have to be at that point and you need to be the person that doing it in order to understand. So then that's where the founders say, okay, you know, we need to expand the team. Now you know the things that we need. We are lacking of manpower. We are lacking of all the different processes. So after 11-11, that's where we hit the end of the year. And then we slowly only figure out the process. what are the process that we need. That's when after figure out, it's so much more smoother and it's much more efficient.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is the ratio of revenue from your traditional part of the business and online part of the business now? Is it 50-50? Is it 60-40? What is the ratio of the revenue like now?
I think it's wrong. It used to be like 1% of online business and 99% is traditional. Right now, it's 50-50.
Right. So do you see the ultimate goal being to go fully online? Is that a wise business model for Mamam? Or have you actually seen the advantages, the upside of running a traditional brick and mortar business?
Actually, to be fair, no one can run away from digitalize and no one can run away from online business. But yes, actually, online business is only our stepping stone in order for us to reach the right target audience in a faster way. But I wouldn't say that last time I would have this, okay, traditional business, it's going to die anyway. I'm not going to put any effort onto it. But it changed my mind after seeing someone actually ask, oh, do you have a shop? Yeah, that's where a lot of people started to question, oh, do we have a shop? Are we trustable? Why should they trust us if I don't even have an offline shop? That's where we think that, oh, Mimi, no, that's still a traditional way of doing business is still very important in the industry, especially for the market. And online business catered for the younger generation. But what about the older generation? Like, for example, I will say that, for example, Uniqlo do online shopping a lot. But they do have the experience store where you can feel it, you can touch it, you can even try it. That's where we think that, okay, maybe we should really branch it out. And hopefully in the future, we will have an official, nicer experience store where you can go there and scoop it out.
The old school way.
So I would say that, the old school way is always work.
Yeah, it's a really nostalgic experience for those who have experienced it when they're a kid, picking which kind of snacks they want and then packing it. And, that whole scoop sensation. I know what you're talking about. I also have to ask if it's been a challenge to kind of relay the message of trust to your customers online, because people know Mamam Snacks. It's been around for 30 years. They know that you can find it at your hypermarkets, at your Kedai Runcit, and they know the quality of the products, right? They trust the quality of the products. But how do you translate that to online sales? Has that been a challenge for you to try and tell everyone, we've been around for 30 years, we've been doing this for yonks, and we're so good at it, and you should trust our quality? Has that been a challenge for you?
Yes, we do have. For example, right, Twisty. Okay, people normally buy it from 99 Speed Mart, KK Mart, even from the hypermarket. So when people buy online, they have the concern of what is the expiry date, how's the freshness, and things like that. And for our new starting product, we start to give off more samples, like a small pack one, 50 gram, for them to test.
And that has helped as well?
Yeah. But not for all products, mainly for all the new products.
Yeah. I think Michelle is trying to say is like, at first we do not have the packaging. We just have a plain one that we can get the cheapest, where that we do not have the write out of who is Mamam Snacks and this kind of thing. But I think we also write on the consumer behavior on that, if you buy things online, it's like you hit a jackpot. So I don't mind trying normal biscuits to start off. That's where people started to buy and they leave a lot of review. That's how we first started. There's only review enough, only then you will gain trust. Then since after that, then we realized that we need to give sampling to introduce different snacks. And then also we slowly slip in flyers. We slowly introduce more proper packaging. That's where they trust us.
Right.
Yeah. Without that, I don't think anyone will trust us, I think. Yeah, because there's a lot of trust issue with food and stuff, right?
Especially online. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Because for example, I take Shopee. In one product, I can just easily say there's hundreds of them selling the same thing. But how do we convert them into our customer is we have to be very competitive in terms of price, in terms of quality, freshness, and trustability, and of course, customer service. So we slowly gain trust from the customer, and we gave the best offer we can give. Yeah, this is how we realize in the business way is we have to play in terms of quantity. Right. There is volume. Only we can able to afford the freshest goods out. So like, for example, our products or our nuts, we roast daily. Those are the nuts that has to be out of the market in 3 days.
Mm.
We do not store any longer. But in order to do that, I have to have a stable quantity of orders in order to give the freshest. So it's like I roast it, pack it, sell it. I don't hoard anything. I don't put like for months. We don't do that. But that's where the challenges come from in terms of the QC of the products.
Okay, guys, before I let you go, what's next for Mamam Snacks? How do you see the business expanding? And also, do you see Mamam Snacks standing the test of time after your generation, you know, the third generation and the fourth generation? How do you plan to keep the family business appealing and attractive for the following generations?
I think it's always how curious are you and how interested are you in the trend? It's always like, you know, right now hiding up to the trend, and you need to be really interested in the business. But I mean, business is always there. But what are the things that you have to use? The free tools online, the social media right now we are hiding on. And if let's say, if how are we going to continue with that? It's just that we have to just give the best price, give the best range, and the freshest of ideal innovations and creativity, I will say. That's always changing. Like today's trend might not suit tomorrow's trend. So it's just that how fast we can pick up. Yeah, I think that's the only way to do that in order for us to sustain longer.
Right. And yeah. So you do see Mamam Snacks moving to the third and fourth generation?
I hope so. Finger crossed for that. Yeah. Okay. But of course, we will say that it's always, everyone loves snacks, right? If let's say if you not do it right, means that you have to find a solution to that. Yeah. Snacks is always a comfort snacks. It's always like a munch to cater everyone's. Yeah.
All right. So how can we find Mamam Snacks online? And also, you know, maybe you want to tell us some of the outlets that you're in so that we can go and actually physically taste some of these snacks as well. How can we get our hands on Mamam Snacks?
For online, we do. You can find us on Lazada, Shopee, and our website, which is mamamsnacks.com.
And also, if you want to have a taste of it itself, we are in Tropicana Gardens. There's tons of things for you to try, for you to have your hands on. There will be Tropicana Garden. And we are in different like Giant Supermarket, Jesco Supermarket, in different store. But if you want the best price, you will have to go to our website. Because that's where you will enjoy the best promotion. And we do have a lot of free gifts, free samples, and the best promotion at the point in time.
Excellent. And if you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website. That's bfm.my. You can also find all our podcasts on the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. I've been speaking with Ginny Lee and Michelle Chan from Mamam Snacks. My name is Audrey Raj, and this has been Open for Business on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.